Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is another episode of the Meeting You Where You Are podcast. My name is Jan Desper Peters, and I am your host. Meeting You Where You Are is more than a podcast or a tagline. It's a movement. In this movement, we share factual and relevant information on real life issues that may affect your emotional wellness. Our guests are subject matter experts and real people sharing their lived experiences on the highlighted topic. Though every topic may not resonate with where you are at the moment, we believe that the messages are a resource to inspire, transform, and empower you or someone you may know, and that you may share this information with. So check out our YouTube video for past episodes and like and share and subscribe on all social media platforms and at Podomatic, SoundCloud, and the Apple Podcast app. Now sit back and listen up as we share with my guest today, who will explore what it was like to pivot to a virtual business space and the plans and challenges of reopening a business in the midst of COVID. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just sharing in my intro that we're going to have a wonderful conversation about what it was like to pivot to a virtual business space and then some of the challenges of reopening a business in the midst of COVID. But before I start, because I wanted to definitely give acknowledgement and condolences to the families of Congressman John Lewis and Reverend C.T. Vivian, who were stalwarts in the civil rights movement and were willing to, and almost did, risk their lives for us as people of color, as Black people, to have the right to vote. So I wanted to send my sympathy and condolences to their family and acknowledge the great contribution that they've not only made to Black people, but to this entire nation. So just wanted to say that, and want to wish you all the best of mornings and just check in with you to see how you're doing. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good.
Doing well.
Great. I always ask because we are in the midst of so many pandemics. When we say pandemic, we normally think of COVID-19, but as Black people, we also are in the midst of a pandemic as it relates to the civil unrest, racial injustice. And so I always want to check in to make sure how we are feeling. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest. First, I'd like to introduce Jada McCray. Jada is also co-owner and executive director of BTST Services. And so we have a special relationship in that regard. Jada is from Baltimore. She attended a Western High School and began a lifelong dedication to education and growth there. She received her bachelor's degree from Coppin State University and then moved on to the University of Maryland School of Social Work, where she received her master's degree in social work with honors. After graduation, Jada launched her career as a social worker in the Child Protective Services Unit at the Baltimore County Department of Social Services. She then went on and developed her clinical skills to begin training as a psychotherapist. She also served in many capacities as director of programs and really managed hundreds of people at various locations. Jada also gives back her time to a number of boards, and she recently was honored. And we were so proud of her at BTST Services. She was recently honored as one of the women who moved Maryland in the Baltimore Magazine. Jada is a loving wife, and she has two beautiful children.
I mean. And
she also enjoys, and I'm going to let her talk about this a little bit more. She enjoys, in her bio, it says she enjoys running, but I know that during the COVID season, she also has dipped her finger into gardening. Yes. I saw your big zucchini on social media. Jada has met each new adventure with the same tenacity and fortitude that she sees through racing, through her running, and she looks forward to what tomorrow brings. And that's Jada McCray. Great.
Little old me?
that was all you, Jada. That was all you. Yes. And then my good friend, Jody Friend, no pun intended, that is really her name. Jody and I met maybe a couple years ago because we were in a business incubator program together. And then we've had the opportunity to do some other work together. But Jody is a human resources executive with over 30 years of experience. Her passion is providing HR solutions for her clients by helping them build their HR infrastructure through technology, compliance, and people. Jody also enjoys consulting with early stage ventures and nonprofit organizations. Prior to launching JLM, Jody held several corporate HR leadership positions in manufacturing, IT, telecom, and professional services organizations. Jody holds her bachelor's degree from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and she is a certified senior professional in human resources. Jody is an active member of many prominent HR organizations, and she enjoys spending time with her family, reading, and listening to music. She is also a loving wife, and she has three children and one adorable grandson. And Jody enjoys mentoring up-and-coming HR professionals, where she shares her knowledge and passion for HR. So you can see I have some great experienced people who are going to give us information that is going to help us transition into this new world post-COVID. First, I would like to just ask, is there anything that you all have done or started doing during the pandemic that you probably would have said before, I just don't have time to do this?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Jan. Quite frankly, you know, as a business owner, and Jan, you know this, Jada, you know this, is, you know, being a business owner, that we get, it's 24/7. We are on 24/7. Right. And so I think part of what COVID has forced us in some ways to do, at least for me, is to really pay attention to my staff. You know, we get caught up in our day-to-day, just so many things that have to be done. But I think this, you know, it's giving us pause to kind of step back, take notice of our life and to really prioritize those things that are important. And quite frankly, what can be more important than your team? I mean, that's what makes the engine run. And so I've been very, very intentional, even more so than before, about making sure that they're okay and their families are okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Jada has done quite a bit in that area as well, as because I'm a part of her team. And so Jada, would you share with us, I know that you have been very diligent about making sure that people check in, that even there were opportunities for therapy sessions, and that you also provided various trainings for us as well.
We did, actually. We started off with ensuring that we provided group therapy sessions through Zoom for BTST services employees. Anyone who wanted to join them was allowed to participate with that. And then when the social unrest happened with George Floyd, we also provided a safe space for people to talk about their feelings and emotions then, as well as some racial healing training with the Racial Healing Handbook. And so we've been doing everything that we can to try to be as supportive as possible for our staff, but also developing them professionally. For a number of staff members, we've allowed executive coaching to take place during the pandemic as well, so that they're able to meet with executive coaches and get themselves, advance themselves professionally as well. So we are making sure that we are handling the emotional toll that coronavirus and the social unrest is taking, but also helping people to develop professionally as well, while making sure that we're doing everything that we can to keep everyone at home and safe and not in the office environment, if at all possible.
So have you found that to be well-received as it relates to people just kind of having the opportunity to share how they're feeling, and that, you know, that that the organization cares about not only that they deliver services and that they have billable hours, but that they also are doing okay?
The feedback we got was actually very, very great. People appreciated the fact that we had the programs there and available to them. Whether or not they choose to take, you know, to take advantage of those things is deeply individual and personal to everyone, because not everybody wants to feel vulnerable, especially in the workplace. But people were very appreciative that we had those and that we thought enough to offer them to our staff. But I think that has a lot to do with myself and Chris Simon. We are therapists, we're business people, but we're also trained therapists as well. So we believe in treating and taking care of the whole person, whether it's staff, whether it's our clients that we work with, whether it's just community members. We want to make sure that we're addressing the whole individual. And a great part of that is providing support and making sure that we are addressing the issues of mental health as well. You know, physician, heal thyself.
Right. Exactly. Which leads me to kind of just stepping back to March. And I know that I was actually working from home that day when I got the call that we're not going to be coming back into the office anymore. And I know that there was a lot that went on behind the scenes as it relates to what that entailed for an outpatient mental health clinic. I know that one of the biggest things was that we had to transition to 100% telehealth for the most part. And that regulations did not allow certain services to be delivered through telehealth. So Jada, I want you to kind of give us a feel for like what that felt like that day in March when you and Chris Simon decided or knew that it was gonna be in the safest of practices to transition to a virtual environment.
So the first thing I'll say is I'm a business person, but I'm a person of faith first, and I needed it, my faith. Right. And everything happened in March.
It was pray.
Yeah. What is going on? But you always want to make sure that for us anyway, there are marathon planning sessions to make sure that when we roll something out, we try to roll it out as complete a form as possible before we roll it out to our staff. So we had to plan and brainstorm every single scenario and try to think of every single scenario and all of the things that could go wrong and all of the things that could go right. But at the same time, we're getting information at the same time that the public is. And so you guys remember in March, we're getting information from the CDC at the same time as as the public, and the government telling us how they're going to change the regulations at the same time as the public, and being adaptable and shifting and changing with those things. And of course, our employees believe that we have the inside track. And it's like, you do realize I don't know Dr. Fauci. This is before we even met Dr. Fauci. Like, what?
We don't. Now he's infamous.
And it's a pandemic. And so, of course, we plan for so many different things. They had contingency plans for so many things in a budget to handle emergencies. We had plans for those things. But nobody thinks that a worldwide pandemic is going to hit. And so this is, again, when adaptability comes into play. And I remember a long time ago, someone told me, you got to roll with the punches, baby. And I've never forgotten. And that was a roll with the punches moment, trying to figure out everything that we can do to keep ourselves safe, keep our clients safe, keep our staff safe, but at the same time, make sure that the business, the running of the business continues on. And so in the matter of, I'd say, a week, we had people set up, providing services from home, home offices established, you know, fax machines, laptops, printers sent out across the state of Maryland to everybody to set up shop at home. And I can tell you, by a week and a half, we were rolling like clockwork. Our business continues to grow and thrive even in the midst of the pandemic. And that might have something to do with prayer too. So, you know.
Right. I'm sure it does. I mean, we believe in the power of prayer. Absolutely. Jody, as an HR professional, can you share with us some of the things when you heard about the sheltering in place and the quarantining and the you know, virtual working from home, some of the things that immediately came to mind that as a professional and as a consultant that you would have advised or suggested to businesses?
Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost was how, you know, if our clients and companies in general were not used to any kind of telework, that was huge for them. And I can just tell you that our, you know, phones were ringing off the hook. But I think, you know, for those, for us, it was an easier pivot because some of our work is done virtually anyway. And so we're not necessarily bound to an office. But I can tell you, just like Jada said, you know, we're building the plane as we fly it, because this was new for everybody. And so while our clients were reaching out to us, you know, we were very open and transparent. Was like, we don't know the answer, but let's have a dialogue. Let's discuss this. But, you know, one of the things that we really pride ourselves is also getting, when we take on a new client, we also really dig into their operations and understand how they work. And so we were able to have those conversations. You know, should we be providing stipends, you know, for telework? You know, what kind of equipment do we need to be able to provide mm-hmm. to our, you know, our employees? And so for the most part, you know, we encouraged them if they were eligible and wanted to pursue PPP. So we had conversations around that when that came out. We encouraged them to, you know, again, open the dialogue and have very, very frequent communications with their employees. Find out how they're doing. Find out, you know, how they're feeling about things. Be there to support them in any way that we can. And so, you know, some of our clients were able to pivot very quickly. Some got hit really, really hard. And so we had to have discussions about what does a temporary layoff or furlough look like, and kind of walk them through those processes, you know, helping those employees, even kind of holding their hands through filing for unemployment. So, and as you know, the initial filing of unemployment was the tradition, you know, was the traditional unemployment. And then all of a sudden, you know, you had to pivot to
pandemic EBA. Unemployment assistance. Right?
And mm-hmm. It was, you know, people couldn't get through, and, you know, we were getting calls left and right, and how do we do this? And so, again, just taking it one call at a time, providing as much information as we knew it at that particular time, because, you know, in the early part of this, things were changing.
Right, a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to stay abreast. We were ourselves holding webinars, you know, putting the information out there again as we knew it, and trying to keep our, you know, clients and colleagues and, you know, the employees as up to date as possible.
One of the things that I learned from doing so much research on what was going on, especially in business, because I also own a business, was that the federal government didn't expect this kind of pandemic as well as either. So, you know, there are disaster relief programs that are in place in the federal government, because there are primarily natural disasters in our country. We have tornadoes, we have hurricanes, we have floods. And so there are systems in place to facilitate when those kinds of things happen. But there was not a system really in place for this kind of medical pandemic, if you for lack of a better term. And so they were also building the plane as they flew it too. Mm-hmm. So as we look at today, for instance, so today is July 25th, and it is the day that the national emergency order is lifted, right? And so we are also in a country where our president is pushing for the opening of everything, the economy for the most part, because it looks so abysmal for him. And it looks so abysmal as it relates to the numbers, the job numbers, the number of people that are still filing for unemployment. I think the last number I saw last week was 1.4 million people filed for unemployment last week. So we're into the fourth or fifth month of this pandemic, and you still have 1 million people a week filing for unemployment. And so as we transition in our minds and in our hearts and in reality to opening up our offices, Jada, tell me what that looks like for BTST services.
So speaking of things that are ever changing, I think they just extended that today. So again, right. It was up July the 25th, and we're finding out the morning of the 24th what we'll have to do. So again, just trying to be as flexible as possible. And, you know, as far as economic times and people losing their jobs, luckily for us during the pandemic, we've not lost one. And so that has been so, I'm telling you, I had a rare opportunity to go to church and I really got on the altar about that. But, you know, but for us, it just reminds me of, if you've ever watched that movie, Miracle in the Hudson, when the plane's going down, they're like, head down, stay down, brace, brace, brace. That is what a lot of this has been, just keeping your head down, doing the work, embracing for impact, and making sure that you're as prepared as you possibly can with things changing every day. And Jody, you can probably speak to this. Even the HR rules have changed every day. Time off that you give people for sick time, it changes. There were so many different things. So we're thinking about getting everybody, changing locales, getting everybody set up. HR rules, that's changing. Also access to loans and grants and programs, all of this happening simultaneously. And at the same time, we've got like an invisible a virus going around too that we also have to be able to manage. And so transitioning back into the offices for us, and also it's kind of, it's a little shaky and it's not anything that we want to do right away. And honestly, we're trying to extend it as long as possible. We're trying to have as few people in the office as long as possible because the CDC is saying places like indoor restaurants and dining and places like office buildings are the biggest issue because of the air quality. And so
air conditioning. We're in the middle.
Yeah, with air conditioning. So we're really concerned about that. And we're concerned about having big groups of people in the office at the same time. At any given time, we have 25 to 30 staff members in one of our offices. And that's not to mention the clients that we have that come in as well, and the visitors that we have that come in as well. And so as long as we can stay offsite as long as possible, that's better for us. It really is. And then we do a lot of community work. So a lot of our therapists and our counselors are going into people's homes to do work and into schools to do work. And a lot of disease, I feel like I'm a microbiologist at this point, an immunologist, because I've had to read up on so much of this. But so as long as we can be keep people away from each other, as much as we like connection and we miss the camaraderie that comes with working in an office space, as long as we can keep people away from each other for as long as possible for this to pass, then I feel more comfortable with that. So it's exciting to me to hear that the order has been extended to, I think, January 1.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So at least that gets us through flu season. So we can just, wonderful, you know, head down, stay down, brace, brace, brace. We can make it.
Exactly right. So now I'm going to have to, when we're finished with this conversation, I'm going to jump right on and try to get up to date, because what does that mean now for the Families First Coronavirus Act, right? Mm-hmm. Is that going to get extended beyond December 31st of 2020? And so, you know, the impact that not only the virus in and of itself has had, you know, the impact of some of these rules, while they're good, you know, there's also always the con side of things because of the impact of small business.
Absolutely.
So small businesses have now been mandated, in addition to, because if they were in the state of Maryland, there was a mandate, you know, before coronavirus to have sick leave, right? To accrue sick leave. Mm-hmm. Now, the part of the Families First Coronavirus Act has an expanded sick leave component, right? Which is not related to the mm-hmm. Maryland state sick leave. And so we've had to help our clients understand what that means. So if they have an employee that qualifies, under the Families First Coronavirus Act, how to implement that leave so that they're in compliance. And so in addition to the leave, there's now companies that were, you know, under 50, you know, unless there was a state mandate or some other, you know, jurisdictional mandate to have family medical leave, that now affects employers, who did not have to comply with the family medical leave, before. So there's a component of that that has affected employees. And so we have to help our clients navigate and understand what that means. You know, do they have to have certain documentation? So, you know, it's not the traditional documentation that we would normally have required for, family medical leave. And so there's added burdens, not only to, you know, loss of revenue, but now you have, if you are able to retain employees on staff, you now have to also make sure that you're in compliance with these new regulations. And so now we'll have to see if they get extended beyond December 31st of this year.
And it's a doubling of, I'm sorry, it's a, okay. so just last year we had to provide for sick and safe leave. And so that's, you know, that's paid leave that you have to provide. Usually without documentation, you usually don't need it. But then again, so now in addition to sick and safe leave that we had to make sure that we were taken care of, now you have the Family First Leave Act too, which is a doubling. So a lot of agencies and a lot of businesses cannot absorb doubling leave. And they're already, and because in America, we're largely service-based, in a, you know, a largely service-based economy, if you cannot provide those services, then you don't have the money to provide the double leave that you now have to provide for. It's right. It's a precarious situation to be in.
It really is. And Jada, to your point, as it relates to feeling like now you have to be a immunologist and you know, an infectious disease specialist, you know, I also feel like I have to ramp up and understand the tax law, which is crazy to me because, you know, under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, you also, you know, they also give you the tax credit for extending this leave. And if you're a small, even smaller company, like I am, than BTST Services, if you have under 50 employees, you can ask for a waiver. But the information that I've seen is like, oh, don't ask for a waiver because you get all the money back in a tax credit. But when are you going to get the money back? You know? And so it's like, but I have to put it out first. So I have to put it out for 10 days if my employee says they're sick or they've been in a household with someone that's sick or they've been in contact with somebody that's sick and they want to shelter in place for 10 days or 14 days, that I'm obligated to then pay them. So I have to pay them when payday comes, right? And then I have to wait for my tax credit. So it is a catch-22 as it relates to all of these systems now, that it's more than just managing people and equipment and supplies. We also have to, you know, be immersed in all of these other details because the regulations and the guidance keeps changing. Just like you said, the date was July 25th. You found out on July 24th that now it's January 1st. And then I'm sure that the guidance will change as it relates to this this Leave Act. And then part of that act also covers people who are not able to find childcare. And so then there is a requirement and guidance for businesses to also provide payment to employees who are not able to find childcare because of the coronavirus. And so now we have schools that are not going to reopen because most of the school systems that I've been researching are saying January. I saw one that said February. And I'm talking about, you know, local public school systems because they don't want the risk of infecting hundreds and thousands of people. And quite frankly, I did a podcast recently. The teachers are absolutely petrified that they are going to be, you know, infected. And some of them are saying absolutely they are not coming back. And then some teachers that are more seasoned are just like, well, I'll just retire because I'm just not going to be in that environment. And so this is this is a deep issue. And I hope that we just tipped the iceberg as it relates to what some of the resolution can be and, you know, what you all are doing to make sure that Jada, your organization, our organization, and Jody, that you're helping as many people as you can understand this very, very difficult and challenging time.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, empathy, compassion, communication is going to be key. You know, so I have, you know, when we're talking to our clients, you know, I'm saying, you know, especially if they're smaller and they have the ability to do this, have one-on-one conversations with your staff, because no two people have the same situation. And so, I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, we're in unprecedented times. And, you know, I'm thankful because the clients that we work with, they are compassionate. They are, they are showing empathy. They're really trying to figure this thing out and navigate the best way they can. But what about those companies that their business relies on some of their staff, if not all of their staff, being in an office environment or being in a space? So we work with a bioscience company, And they are, and also thankfully, they've got FDA approval to start working on the COVID vaccine. Wonderful. And so, but they have folks that work in the lab. They have to be there to check, you know, on what I call the petri dishes, you know, what's growing in the petri dishes. And so some of those individuals have children. They're not going back to school in the fall. How are we going to manage those folks that need to work in the lab, but they have daycare challenges and, you know, perhaps other challenges? And so now the conversations are around, does it have to be Monday through Friday? Does it have to be 9 to 5? You know, so those are the kinds of conversations that we're having. So now we're starting to probably look at shift work, right? Around the clock work, because how are we gonna, how are you gonna get the productivity if, you know, your folks can't come to work? And so, and I can tell you that this particular company, they are having conversations every day about, okay, how are we going to manage through this? We're not interested necessarily in, you know, we don't want our employees to leave. These are good people, and let's work with them to try to make this thing work. And so we're talking about, you know, maybe their someone's day starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, perhaps when their spouse can take over, and then they can come to work and, you know, work from, you know, 3 to 11 or whatever, you know, schedule they and their managers agree with. And is it Monday through Friday? Maybe it's, you know, Wednesday through Sunday. I mean, who, you know, so we have to get creative. We have to get flexible. And also just kind of take it one day at a time, but communication, compassion, empathy is really going to be key. And that's those are the conversations that we're having with our clients.
I think the piece that you talked about as it relates to individual conversations and individual circumstances is important. When you were talking, I was reminded of a social services paradigm as it relates to people speaking about a traditional family. And what we know is that there are really no traditional family models that can be pigeonholed for each scenario. And so what you're talking about as it relates to maybe mom goes to work when dad comes home, or, you know, that kind of thing, to make sure that, you know, because that's going to affect their livelihood too if they are not able to work. And right. So I think that we're in a situation and in a space and a moment in time where we're all going to have to do paradigm shifts in our mind and be more flexible and understand that there is now in this space no normal kind of outlay of work experience, that it's all going to be new and different, and that we are going to have to adjust and ramp up pretty quickly. So Jada, I also just want you to share, please, for anybody that's listening that may be running an outpatient mental health clinic or in a mental health space, some suggestions or last minute thoughts on how to make sure that in addition to our staff feeling comfortable, I know that there was some transition as well with the clients receiving telehealth services. And I know that when I called for my annual physical and they told me it was going to be a teleappointment, I almost had, you know, an issue. You know, I'm like, I want to come. I'm thinking to myself, I want to come see the doctor. And then I'm thinking, no, I don't.
Right. Listen, I got a tooth that I'm hoping on right now. Like, please hold out, tooth. Please hold out. I'm not eating sugar anymore because I don't want to go to the dentist. But but one of the things that I think that I, if anything, just a little encouragement to say, to give people time to adjust. And so for some of our clients who initially wanted in-person services and didn't want the telehealth, now they really actually like the telehealth. And we're like, I hope they come back to in-person services after this is over. Because people just had to have time to adjust to the new normal. It's just like having, you know, just having children in the home while you're doing your Zoom work or you're on a meeting or trying to get work done. The family finds the balance. You know, we get to a point where we have equilibrium, where we learn how to live with each other again, live and work, which was actually the quote unquote traditional paradigm that we had in America before, is that families worked side by side with children and had children in the home while they were doing the work, whether you worked in a farm or you took in laundry or whatever it is that you did, children were there involved. And that's how apprenticeships started, because children would learn to do the work of their parents. I can tell you this, my children have a lot more respect for what I do know. They're like, geez, mom, you work all the time. Yes, honey, I know. You didn't know. But you know, just taking the temperature and understanding the way that things are going to flow and know that you have to flow with them and know that we have to change with the times. I think that as in any stage of evolution, and we just got a rapid evolution happening really quickly with us, human beings have to adapt. And if you don't adapt, you burn out and you fizzle and die. As evidenced by for instance, the restaurants that have learned how to successfully do curbside, people who didn't provide delivery services before, providing delivery services now, people eating outside and dining outside more when they do attend restaurants. Those are the things that people had to change and shift. Grocery services, people, you know, one of my greatest loves is going to Whole Foods and just perusing the aisles. And for me, that is just the best. And just learning how to use Instacart and stuff like that. Those businesses are booming. And so while some businesses are dying out, there are other businesses that are booming as a result of this. And so we've got to look at that. That it's adaptability. It's seeing where the next wave is going, seeing where the next trend is going. Maybe we don't all, if possible, like Jody was saying, some people have to be in the space. For those of us who don't have to be in a space, maybe it's not required for our staff to be in a space. We found the productivity has gone up a lot, especially with our advanced professionals that we have, people with professional degrees and licensures that they, you know, really buy into and we buy into and are regulated by the law. Their productivity has gone up tremendously. Right. And so you find that, you know, maybe the commute for some people is a killer, and having the commute. And I know that, you know, for me, my day has gotten shorter because I don't have my commute into the office. I'm at the office. I don't have to drop off kids, pick them up, take them to whatever their activities are, get home, put, you know, feed them dinner, get them to bed, and then start working again, because right. I had to stop working in order to get all of that done.
Right, exactly. And so I'm reading a book now by Allison Maslin called Scale or Fail. Yes. And I think that is one of the things that is going to be a mindset, regardless of whether it's in business or in other aspects of our life, is that we are going to have to learn to scale and do mm-hmm. things differently. And so I just want to thank you ladies for such a lively and informative conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that people will receive what you've said and that they are able to apply it to their lives wherever they are in their life. And that if before I just close out, Jody, if you would just give us information on how to contact you, and then I'll ask Jada to do the same.
Yes. So you can contact me at Jody, and that's Jody, at JLM-HRconsulting.com. You can also reach me by phone, 240-751-6166. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Jada?
And Jada McCray, you can find me on Instagram, or you can go to www.btsdservices.com. Follow BTSD Services on Instagram, Facebook, and all of those platforms. And as you know, Jan, I do a podcast Thursdays at 6 p.m., and it's called Mental Health, Jada McCray Mental Health Moment, and we discuss mental health issues and topics of the day. That will be resuming again in August.
And Jada does it live, so it's lively. And you're also able to ask her questions. So tune in to Mental Health Moments with Jada McCray every Thursday at 6 p.m. Facebook Live. So that does it for us on the Meeting You Where You Are podcast. I will encourage you again to like, share, and subscribe on Podomatic, the Apple Podcast app, and SoundCloud. And until we meet again, be safe, be healthy, and stay home as much as possible. God bless you.